Several mini-strokes, Marguerite said as she pressed the micro-needle head of the syringe against Fuchs's bare bicep. Its hiss was barely audible. This one's the worst yet, though. But what's causing it? I asked. Acute hypertension, Marguerite said. Fuchs turned his glower on her. I was stunned. What? High blood pressure, is that all? All? Marguerite snapped, her eyes suddenly blazing. It's causing these strokes. It's killing him. But blood pressure can be controlled with medication, I said. Nobody dies of high blood pressure. Fuchs laughed bitterly.
Very reassuring. Dr. Humphreys, feel better already.
But I was confused. Hypertension was something you treated with pills, I knew. Those were the pills he'd been chewing. If he had the medication he needed, though, why was he having strokes?
The medication controls the blood pressure only up to a point, Marguerite said, a little more calmly. But it doesn't do anything about the root causes.
Does that mean I'm going to come down with it, too? I asked. After all, I was getting his blood. Did his disease come along with it? Fuchs's expression turned to contempt, or perhaps it was disgust. He started to shake his head.
Not from transfusions, Marguerite said. It's not carried by the blood.
But doesn't his medication help? I asked.
It helps, but not enough to counteract the stress he's under.
Stress?
Do you think captaining this ship isn't stressful? She demanded.
Do you think dealing with this crew has been easy?
Not the stress, Fuchs mumbled. The rage. How do you stop the rage? Inside me. Every minute. Every day.
Rage, I echoed.
Medication can't control it, he said weakly. The fury inside, the hate, even my dreams. Nothing can control it. Nothing.
The rage. That boiling anger within him was what drove Fuchs. His hatred of my father. His blazing, frustrated fury seethed within him like those red-hot rocks of hell below us, burning, boiling, waiting to burst loose in a torrent of all-consuming vengeance. Every minute, he'd said. Every hour of every day. All those years with that hot, relentless rage burning inside him, eating away at him, twisting his life, his being, his every moment waking or sleeping into a brutally merciless torment of hate and implacable fury. It was killing him, driving his hypertension relentlessly, pushing his blood pressure to the point where the microscopic capillaries in his brain were bursting. He always seemed in complete control of everything and everyone around him, but he couldn't control himself. He could keep the rage hidden, bottled up within him. But now I saw what a merciless toll it was taking on him.
It's a vicious circle, Marguerite went on as she pulled out one cylinder from the syringe and pressed in another. The medication loses effectiveness, so he increases the dosage. But the cause of his hypertension is still there. The stresses are getting worse, and so are the strokes.
He was suffering strokes. This tough, hard-handed captain was suffering from blockages in the blood supply to his brain. I stared at him with newfound awe. A normal person would be hospitalized for at least a few days, even with the mildest kind of stroke. I wondered what it felt like, how I would react. I didn't want to find out. "What are you doing now?" I asked. She nodded toward the little display screen as she prepared the syringe.
VEGF to stimulate blood vessel growth, and then an injection of neuronal stem cells to rebuild the damaged nerve tissue.
I had asked enough dumb questions, I thought. Later on, I checked and found that vascular endothelial growth factor made the body build bypass blood vessels to reroute the circulation around the vessel damaged by the clot. Stem cells, of course, had the potential to build any kind of cells the body required. Brain neurons, in this case, to replace those damaged by the stroke.
If we had proper medical facilities, we could treat him and get his pressure down to normal, Marguerite was muttering as she pressed the syringe home. But here aboard ship...
Stop talking about me in the third person, Fuchs grumbled.
We sat and watched him for long silent minutes. Vaguely, I recalled reading that hypertension makes the blood vessels thicken and stiffen, which raises the blood pressure even more, and so on and so on. It can lead to strokes, I remembered, and even heart failure. All kinds of ailments. Fortunately, if you catch a minor stroke quickly enough, you can prevent most of the long-term damage to the brain. Or so I seem to remember. At last, Fuchs struggled up to a sitting position. Marguerite tried to make him lie back down, but he pushed her hands away. "It's all right," he said, his speech stronger, surer. His face was back to its usual color. "The clot must have worked. See?" He lifted his right arm and wiggled his fingers. "Almost back to normal."
"You need rest," Marguerite said.
Ignoring her, Fuchs pointed a thick finger at me. "The crew isn't to know about this. Not a hint of it. Understand me?"
"Of course," I said. "Are you going to tell him the rest?" Marguerite asked.
His eyes went wide. I had never seen Fuchs look startled before, not even when he was flat on his back from the stroke, but he did at that instant. "The rest of what?" I asked.
"You're going to make the flight down to the surface," Fuchs said.
"Me?"
"Yes, you. You're relieved of your duties on the bridge. Spend the time in the simulator learning how to pilot Hecate."
My jaw must have dropped open.
"You're a qualified pilot," he said. "I read that in your resume."
"I can fly a plane, yes," I said, then added, "on Earth." It never occurred to me to ask when and how he saw my resume.
"Don't think you can claim the prize money because you actually go to the surface," Fuchs added. "I'm still the captain of this ship, and that prize is mine. Understand me? Mine."
"I don't care about the prize money," I said. My voice sounded hollow, far away.
"Oh, no?"
I shook my head. "I want to find my brother." Fuchs looked away, glanced up at Marguerite, then back at me.
"Very noble," he mumbled.
But Marguerite said, "That's not what I meant." He said nothing. I sat there like a sack of wet laundry, feeling physically exhausted, emotionally coiled tight, my mind jumping and jittering. How can I pilot Hecate with only a few hours of simulator time as training? No matter, I'll do it. I'll get down to what's left of Phosphorus and Alex. I'll do it. I will.
"You need another transfusion, don't you?" Fuchs asked gruffly.
"You can't!" Marguerite cried.
"Don't you?"
Fuchs repeated sternly to me. "Yes," I answered. "But in your condition..." He made a dismissive gesture with one hand.
"In my condition, another transfusion will be helpful. It'll lower my blood pressure, won't it, Maggie?"
Her eyes flashed sudden anger, but then she half-smiled and nodded.
"Temporarily," she said.
"You see," Fuchs said with mock geniality. "It's a win-win situation. We both gain something."
"That still isn't what I meant," Marguerite said to him, so softly I barely heard her.
Fuchs said nothing.
"It would be better if he heard it from you," she said.
He shook his head.
"If you don't tell him, I will."
"He won't believe you," he said sourly. "He won't believe me either, so forget about it."
I spoke up. "I don't like being talked about in the third person any more than you do, you know."
"He's your father," Marguerite said.
I blinked. I couldn't have heard her correctly. She couldn't have said what I thought she had. My ears must be playing tricks on me. But the look on her face was utterly somber, completely serious. I turned my eyes to Fuchs. His features seemed frozen in ice, hard and cold and immobile.
"It's the truth," Marguerite said. "He's your father, not Martin Humphreys."
I wanted to laugh at her. "I was born 6 years after my mother left him and married my father," I said. "If you're implying that she had an affair while she was married to my father..." I couldn't finish the sentence. The very thought of it made me so furious.
"No," Fuchs said heavily. "Your mother wasn't that kind of woman."
"That's right," I snapped. He glanced at Marguerite, then said to me,
"We were really in love, you know."
His voice was gentler than I had ever heard it before. Or perhaps he was simply exhausted from the ordeal he'd just gone through. "Then why did she leave you?" I demanded, even though Nodan had told me why.
"To save my life," he said, without an instant's hesitation. "She agreed to marry your father, as the price